Bronzo's death cell in the deep levels beneath the fortress citadel offered no amenities, not even a pallet for a bed. One corner held a small reclamation still for bodily waste. He could tell from the lingering, wafting odor that the still had been used recently, and the seals were old. He did not need to ask what had happened to the cell's previous occupant. He tried to sleep on the cell's hard plazcrete floor. Dim, unfiltered glow globes provided the only light, denying him any direct awareness of the passage of hours or days, but with the implanted Ixion chronometer on the skin of his forearm, he could mark the exact passage of every interminable second. Time no longer mattered, however. With each stirring in the corridors outside the thick-walled cell, he sat up, remembering how Paul had come to him the last time he was here. The Emperor Paul Muad'Dib himself had dismissed or diverted all the guards, then opened the cell door to let Bronzo flee down empty corridors and dusty tunnels. It made him smile to think of that now. Yes, even all those years after they had been boys together, Paul had remembered his promise. He had protected his Ixion companion, saved his life by secretly setting him free. Bronzo had followed the escape path out to the dark alleys of Arakeen. Weeks of public outrage had followed, and an unsuccessful search for traitors in the prison levels of the fortress palace. The hated Bronzo of Ix had vanished from the most secure prison on Dune like a magician or a demon. Not long ago, he had escaped execution again when the face dancer Sielto had died in Bronzo's place, much to Aaliyah's embarrassment. Now, though, the young regent would take no chances. Her priests would interrogate and torture him, try to make him recant while she devised some particularly horrific execution for him. He had humiliated her too many times, and her animosity was personal. He needed only to remember what Romber had endured in his life. The Skyclipper explosion, the pain of living with cyborg replacement parts for years, the shock of watching his young son denounce him. And he thought of his mother, crushed by guilt casting, but finally finding her way back to consciousness, waiting for years to be rescued from the Bene Gesserit's clutches. If his parents could endure all that, then surely Bronzo could tolerate a few hours of pain, knowing it would be over soon enough. He paced the perimeter of his cell, then forced himself to sit calmly, sure that hidden spy eyes watched him. He would not slip into empty despair. He wouldn't give them the satisfaction. The temperature in his cell increased, as if the baking sun from outside penetrated even this deep below ground. He perspired heavily. Wasted water. What irony. If he had sheets of rough spice paper, he could have written his final thoughts, a masterpiece of sorts. He tried to write in the dust on the wall, but his words were unreadable and easily erased. After his father's death, the Ixion technocrats had taken everything from House Vernius, bleeding away his family's power and influence, keeping him as a figurehead, and finally discarding even that. Bronzo had given everything he'd had left to Paul Atreides, and at least he had made a difference. The legacy of Bronzo of Ix would endure far longer than anything Bronzo Vernius could have accomplished in the Landsrod. He sat on the hard surface and stared directly into the glow globe without blinking, not caring what damage it did to his eyes. Paul had been blinded in a stone burner blast, so what difference would his own loss of sight make now? Muad'Dib's fanatics were the blind ones, unable to read or understand the messages Bronzo had written. The glow globes were far too weak to do any more than make his eyes burn. His writings had emphasized the unvarnished facts, flaws and all, to hammer home the point that Paul was human, not a god, and just as subject to weaknesses as any man. One day, When he and Paul Atreides were joined in the dust and grit of Arrakis, it would matter little how many people knew why Bronzo did what he did. The important part was that some people would heed the message. However, when some forger, Aaliyah presumably, co-opted his name and spread an outrageous false manifesto, it marred the purity of Bronzo's purpose. She had wanted to inflame anger against him, to drive people into the comfortable delusions of Irulan's version of history. That made him angry. But Lady Jessica knew the truth, and he trusted her to help historians navigate through the treacherous waters of fact and fiction. My ego, he thought. My ego lingers, but I must let it go. He wished Aaliyah would throw him to the crowds outside. He knew they must be shouting and chanting, demanding his blood. They would beat and trample him, but at least their fury would make the end swift. Shall I tell you how you're going to die? A female voice filled the cell. Blinking away the glare from staring into the glow globe, Bronzo turned to see that the cell door was open. He caught a glimpse of three angry-looking Amazon guards outside, and young Aaliyah standing there in all of her dark splendor. Only 16 years of age. A few years older than when he and Paul had run away from Ix to join the Jongleurs. The black robe fit her closely, following the contours of her figure. The red hawk of House Atreides adorned one side of her collar. Interesting that she chose to wear the Atreides emblem, rather than the trappings of a fanatical cult. He rose to his feet, acting aloof. You are a poor hostess, Lady Aaliyah. Am I to receive no food or water? On Dune, we learn not to waste resources. It's the Fremen way. Your body's water will be reclaimed in a Hua Nui death still. He shrugged. I know the Fedaikan death chant. Who can turn away the angel of death? Are you my dark angel, Aaliyah Atreides? On with it, then. I have long been prepared to die. He wondered how she would react if he told her now that he had reported to Jessica the conspiracy in the priesthood to assassinate Aaliyah and Duncan. Bronzo doubted if she would express any gratitude, though, and the information would only throw suspicion on her mother. Aaliyah remained haughty. Don't expect pity from me, after all the pain you've caused, all your years of trying to destroy my brother's reputation. All my years of trying to keep him human. Bronzo did not harbor any hope that she would understand, or desire to understand. You've read my analysis of history and other works, and I know you comprehend the purpose of my writings. You've even twisted them to your own ends. Isn't imitation supposed to be the highest form of flattery? Aaliyah shook her head sadly, her expression filled with disappointment. For 7 years, my brother and I hunted you. Now, you are just a dismal, uninteresting little man. Straightening, she raised her voice. We have chosen a style of Fremen execution reserved for only the most heinous criminals. You will be put in the death still while still alive. We will draw out the water from your body bit by bit, leaving your mind aware until the last. Bronzo did not let her see his expression of revulsion. Fear screamed inside him. But now, at least, he knew. He wiped sweat from his forehead in the excessively hot cell and summoned what little bravado he had left. You'd best hurry, then. At the rate I'm dehydrating in here, there won't be any moisture left to squeeze out of me. She turned and departed, letting the Amazon guard seal the cell behind her, leaving Bronzo alone with his thoughts. She had wanted to intimidate him and make him fear his fate. but he knew that a cringing, whimpering death for Paul's greatest critic would only serve to weaken the impact of his writings. He could still help Paul a while longer. He vowed to himself that he would march forth proudly and face the death still with his head held high. He was sure Lady Jessica would be watching.